Welcome to Lipstick Bitties, a beauty podcast. I'm your host, Atlanta makeup artist and content creator, Rachel Rose Mazza. I created this podcast to have unfiltered conversations about all things beauty. We're chilling with my friends and colleagues from all over the world in all different walks of life. This goes way beyond the glossy facade of social media. Sometimes we don't get to know the personalities behind the people who create with their heart and soul. I'm talking to everyone from pro makeup artists to beauty enthusiasts, from influencers to entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Lipstick Bitties is a community we're building that is truly interactive with you listeners. So if you're someone who wants to learn some shit, get inspired, and have a good-ass time, this podcast is for you. Who are the faces behind the faces? Keep listening to find out. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to the Lipstick Bitties podcast. It is your host, Rachel, the head biddy in charge, here with you today. Welcome to all my new listeners. Welcome back to everybody who is here with me every single week. I'm so excited to have you. It's been a crazy ass time this past week. I am on my way to preparing for the makeup show in New York City this coming weekend. By the way, if you're going to be there and you do not come say hi, I'm going to be fucking pissed. So make sure to come say hi to me so I can give you a big ass hug, especially if I've never met you in person before. I don't care if it looks like I'm talking to someone, come up and fucking say hi. Please, please, please come up and say hi. I'm so, so, so excited to meet some of you for the very first time. The makeup show has always been a really good time. One really special announcement is our new merch is coming. Our new merch for spring and summer is coming. It is going to be launching next Wednesday, which is the 3rd. And that means that all of our existing merch is going to be changed up. So I put on my Instagram stories, and if you look on my highlight reel, you'll see which merch will be discontinued as of the 2nd. So any hoodies, there's a lot of different accessories that I'm phasing out to make room for both new styles of merch, like new apparel, like tank tops and stuff like that. And then we also are going to have new designs that I'm working on that are really like cute. So make sure to take advantage of that, especially if you want one of the hoodies. If you're somewhere where it's like kind of still brisk, I really love the crop hoodie. It's super like soft and light. If you're somewhere where you need a little bit more of like, you know, like a warmer hoodie, go for like the regular one. Those two are going to be phased out. A bunch of other stuff is going to be phased out. So just check the highlight reel. Make sure to shop, like I said, before the 2nd. If you're shopping and you're international, I do ship international. Make sure just to DM me with what items you want, and I can create a custom basket for you to shop international. We do ship international, and always the Would You Rather cards are in there to ship international. Thank you for all of you that joined in on our meetup this past week. If you are in the Patreon at the Badass Bitty tier, you will be able to access the rewatch. Of course, the Patreon is where you can go ahead and support me for less than the price of a lipstick. Make sure to check that out, patreon.com/lipstickbitties. If you'd like to support me in a totally free way, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. If you drop a rating or a review, take a screenshot and DM it to me at lipstickbitties, along with your mailing address, and I will send you something in the mail as a thank you. Another free way that you could support us is by taking a screenshot of you listening to this podcast. Share it on your story. Tell us what you learned, what you loved. Make sure to tag me and our guest, Erin Chaney, who you can find at Just Making It All Up on Instagram. She actually is an union makeup artist here in Atlanta, Georgia. She actually met me because she loved one of my reels, and she was like, bitch, let's meet up. And I was like, fuck yeah. So we've known each other for like about, I want to say about 2 years now, maybe a little under 2 years. So like I said, she's a union makeup artist. So she works in film makeup, and she also does a lot of creative shoots. We talk about everything here. She's done like literally everything. So from character design to what goes into going into the union, how you can really utilize your community of artists in order to build your skill set to prepare you to apply for the union, and her recommendations along with that. We both come from New York City, so like we talk about like the differences between New York and the South. It's really fun. We had a really good time. We got to record it in my studio here in Atlanta, which is always so, so fun. So biddies, if you're ever visiting Atlanta and you want to be on the podcast, make sure to reach out to me, because I fucking love the in-person interviews. They are so much fun. So I hope you love this episode. If you are someone who has been wanting to get into film, wanting to get into the union, if you have more follow-up questions regarding this topic, me and Erin would love to do a part two. So make sure to DM us your questions so that we can keep a running list for when Erin comes back. So I hope you love this episode. I hope to see you all this weekend at the makeup show. And yeah, enjoy. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. I am so excited today, first of all, because it is my very first in-house interview in my living room. We've done one before, but this is my first in-house interview in my living room, and I'm really happy to be here with one of my friends and fellow makeup artist, Erin Cheney. How are you, Erin?
I am so good. I'm so excited for 2022 to be better than last year.
Right. We were just talking about that before. So biddies, if you are tuning in for the very first time, my name is Rachel. I am your host and head biddy in charge, aka HVIC. My pronouns are she, her. Erin, would you like to just talk about briefly a little bit about you for people that may be meeting you for the very first time?
Absolutely. Pronouns she, her as well. And I have been a makeup artist for, I did the math the other day, 15 years, which feels like no time at all and yet way too long somehow. Let's see. I moved to Atlanta from New York about almost 5 years now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I moved a little over 3 years ago. So it was like almost like very similar timelines that we were both on.
Right. There's a special bond for people who lived in New York and moved to Atlanta because there are some things that are actually surprisingly similar and there are some things that are confoundingly different about the experience.
What is like one of like the big differences that you've found since you moved down
here? Just the way you get around it's so almost anti-community compared to seeing everything in your path in New York every day, you know, if you're a pedestrian that takes the train and everything, you know.
But don't you feel like I feel like there is more community here than I ever felt in New York, not from like a transportation standpoint, but like from a buy nothing Facebook group standpoint and like misconnections and stuff like that you could post about and like.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
No, I think I have found community here, certainly. Mm-hmm. I guess I was really lucky in New York. I did have what I considered to be a really strong community as well, but we were all so spread out. And that is one thing that's very similar here.
Yes.
That everybody's got like a different borough almost, but it's all technically either in or outside the perimeter.
Yes, yes. That was the first thing I learned, OTP or ITP, and like people that actually think that they live in Atlanta, but really they're like out of the perimeter and they're like, I live in Roswell. And you're like, you're not in fucking Atlanta.
Like, unless you're talking to someone from outside the city. In that case, it makes more sense to just say Atlanta area. Let's just, you don't need to split hairs.
My dad's best friend moved down here and he was like, I moved to Atlanta too. I was like, oh, where'd you move to? Canton.
Interesting.
Yeah. Biddies, if you don't know where Canton is.
Flies, it's
Canada is like in the sticks. It's like pretty far out there. Apparently there's like a cute little like downtown area, but I haven't been to it, but it's like pretty far.
That's the cool thing is that there are lots of little neighborhoods that have like little satellite zones. And it's the same thing in New York as well. Like in my area of Brooklyn, it was a pretty sleepy little neighborhood, but it had, you know, like a couple coffee shops, a couple restaurants. There were ways to stay local. You didn't always have to go into the city. So, and that's luckily the case here because I don't love going to Midtown.
So Midtown was actually for like biddies, like if you're trying to move down to Atlanta, like just talk to locals. Like, I don't know. I thought Midtown because that was like the most similar to Manhattan, but I hated it. It was like immediately no.
And I've got friends who love it, but some of them worked at Turner, so it made sense for them to commute or there was always some sort of a thing that was keeping them there. But for me, I'm very happy in my little zone in the Southeast. So
yes. Indicator.
Yeah.
Yes. We love the East Side. I can't wait to like buy over in the East Side. That's the dream. I'm over in the West End.
That's
currently
a nice dream.
Yeah, it is. It is but a dream. But a dream. Oh my gosh. Biddies, before we get into this interview, I got to talk about one of the major differences, I guess, that when I moved down here, I feel like the first time that I truly felt like I was in the South was the day that you called me and you were like, I was like, hey, what are you up to this weekend? You're like, well, I have a bunch of goats in my backyard. And do you want to come? And I was like, not in a good mood. I was like, yeah, I could use some goats in my life. And I come over and
Erin, you had like literally no joke, like 15 yep. like goats in your backyard. Because can we please explain? Because I didn't understand this.
Yes, there are goats for hire in the Atlanta region. They're really good for eating your English ivy that might be choking out your trees. And the reason that's important is because if you have a big storm, those trees, if they are no longer healthy, can just straight up destroy you and your house. So that was like on the list of things for us to do. And I just loved the idea of getting it done via goats instead of by humans. Because I don't want to see people like wrenching their backs over and over all day when I could watch goats just like munching and being happy. They're pretty much the same price.
They were so happy.
Yeah, they're just happy little goats. It was a little hot, so they were a little lazy. So it took a couple extra days. So they gave us a deal for a couple extra days of the goats. But my favorite was that one of the goats had a little apron on.
Yes. And I had to the chastity belt.
I had to Google goat apron and discover that it was to keep him. It was basically like a physical outdoor condom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
A goat chastity belt.
That's all I needed to know, really. I don't need to know any more about that situation.
So I feel like that was the first time that I truly felt like I was in the South. So thank you for like giving me that experience, because it's something that I will probably always remember. And Biddies, I will definitely put this up on the Instagram. If you don't know, on the Instagram, there are highlight reels, and every week you will see a highlight reel for the episode that's aired, as well as the past week's episode. So in those highlight reels, you'll see the stories that I post, and I'll definitely post some videos from the goats because they were so cute.
They are so cute.
Yeah. And you had like your neighbor's kids coming. This is what I mean about community. You're like, hey, kids, come over and watch the goats. Yeah. In my backyard. I feel like that doesn't happen.
No, you're not wrong. That does not happen in most parts of New York.
Like in these Facebook groups, people are like, so if you want to pick up some cuttings of this pothos, here's my address. Aww. And like but it's like in a Facebook group, and I'm like, no one's worried about getting robbed. Porch pickup, let's go.
Yeah, I guess not.
No.
You want to know when I first realized I was in the South?
Sure.
I was getting my nails done.
Okay.
And I was at, I think it's Village Nails in EAV. I love, like, I grew up around a lot of Vietnamese people. I'm really comfortable around them. And I like take a stab at a language here and there. And so like, I was instantly just sort of kikiing with everybody in the room. And this one guy, he is an excellent nail tech, the straight dude, born and raised in Atlanta. Like they're all speaking Vietnamese, but they definitely speak English with like a pretty hardcore Southern accent, which I just find very delightful.
Yeah.
And then at one point, I realized how much glitter from my nails was getting everywhere. And I was just like, I bet you find glitter in everything, because I know I do in my job. And he says, yeah, I even have it in my guns. I was like, huh, well, I forgot for half a second I lived in Georgia. And my nail tech's gun collection is full of glitter. And that's... If that ain't Atlanta for me, I just...
That is a perfect one.
Because it's such a queer, like, delightful community here. And
everybody has a gun. Do you have a gun?
I sure don't.
Yeah.
I sure don't. No, I don't have any guns. Respect, like, but...
Yeah.
Like, you're just so embedded in the culture. It's, like, super normal for you to own guns. And that's very much the case in Utah, where I'm from, too. It's just never was my experience, so...
It's funny. My friend, before I moved to the South, like... When I would, she lives in Raleigh, I would go and visit her. And I was like, you know, everybody's so nice. She was like, yeah, everybody's so nice because everybody carries. And I was like, I guess that's true. Like, that could be true, because I'm always afraid of like honking my horn now because everybody has a gun in their dash. Like, and road rage is real here. So, like, that's why, I mean, that's why I got nice real quick. And when I realized that everybody's caring.
Yeah, people are either nice by force or by nature. Yeah.
Yes. Cheers to that. Force or nature.
America.
America, yeah. Fuck yeah. So I know you said you grew up in Utah. You know, you lived in New York and now you're living in Atlanta. So you are a film makeup artist.
Correct.
Where did you get your start in makeup? Like, what was the very first kind of thing that you delved into with it?
Well, as far as makeup goes, I was always kind of into my own makeup because my mom was a stage performer. And so she didn't in her everyday life wear makeup. I think she found it kind of a drag because she had to do it for work already. And so during the day, she was usually barefaced, and she's a very beautiful lady. And then at night, this glamorous queen would leave the house smelling of Tresor or something. And I'd just be like, where is she going? Who is she going to be? So I would always dig into her makeup. And she had some pretty cool, like, pearly 70s makeup and stuff like that. But in school plays, I was always that girl that they had to drag out of the bathroom because it was time, because I was busy getting my theatrical face on. And that carried over into just my everyday wear. And then I guess in high school, when I became a little candy raver, I got pretty into like glitter looks and kind of bigger than life looks. And that was really fun, just designing them and coming up with a costume to wear with it. But I also during that same time was in production. I started out in radio when I was 12, and then film and video production for school when I was in high school. And I was like the director of the broadcast team. And after school, I just kept doing production stuff. And so I think I was in my first year of film courses when somebody in the class realized out of the maybe three girls in the room, I was the only one who wore makeup regularly. And therefore...
And this is in Utah.
Yes.
Yes.
Therefore, it was always me that got asked to do something like hair, makeup, script supervising, and wardrobe on somebody's short film for them, you know. So the first time I ever really got into it was actually for my own makeup, because a friend asked me to be the femme fatale in his film noir.
Ooh.
And I got so down the rabbit hole for 40s looks. And I tried real hard with my hair. It looks awful, but I had never, you know, I've got very straight, like kind of flat hair. So it figures it wasn't going to work out for me. It's fine. But I learned a lot, and I started learning how much I didn't know. And I was kind of obsessed at that point. And that was around the same time that like the one Mac counter in my area was blowing up. And so it was a very easy transition.
So you were a Mac girl?
I was a Mac girl.
I can see that.
I spoke fluent Mac. I mean, there was no other choice.
Yeah.
By the time they built a Sephora, I was working for the Sephora. Like, we opened it, and that was the first Sephora in town. So
what's your favorite Mac lipstick? If you have one. Or at one point, like, what was your like go-to?
Go to. I loved me the Viva Glams. I did, especially like the traditional five, like a little bit of shimmer, a little bit of mauve, you know. Yes. Yes. But what I think my first obsession was collecting Lancôme Juicy Tubes.
Oh my God, Juicy Tubes.
They smelled so good. And lipstick, like lip gloss had an era at that time, because like 2003.
Do you remember Baby Sparks?
Of course.
That's still my favorite.
Of course.
Dazzle Gloss.
Do you want to hear the most early 2000s thing?
Yes.
I had a Lancôme Juicy Tube named Simmer.
Ooh.
It was like a toasty color, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to join Suicide Girls, and I was having trouble coming up with a name because all the good names were taken. And I was like, maybe I'll be Simmer Suicide.
Yeah.
And literally, if that had been my path in life, I would have been a suicide girl named after a Juicy Tube. What is more peak 2000 like four than that?
Yes.
Nothing.
I remember Suicide. That was like emo, like MySpace era, right? It was like sexy, right? Sexy
Alt-modeling.
Scene girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, I remember that. I remember looking at those girls because like I always wanted to like dye my hair and like look alternative, but like my parents were always like about it.
Aww.
So like a lot of times I'm kind of glad because I would have probably that – I probably would have been. And you can't really – I wonder where they are now. Like, where are they today?
You know what? I know a lot of people who, like, parlayed it into success. Huh. Yeah. I have a good friend who's a Suicide Girl, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, my path has still come across many of them. Surprise, ooh, surprise. I am aligned with many, many expressive – sex workers and whatnot.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. We've had so many good conversations about that. So you worked at Mac. When did you like start?
I didn't work at Mac.
Or you didn't work?
No.
Oh, now I'm confused.
I just became an avid collector.
I gotcha. Okay, yes. okay.
Yeah. And then later on, I was working in a call center and I was just scouring like Model Mayhem, Temptalia.
Yes. You're literally unlocking so many memories
for
me right now.
Is
thank
this
you.
Some sort of like an ASMR like
yes.
memory trigger
Temptalia.
Session?
Before Tread Mood, there was Temptalia.
Indeed.
Yeah.
She's still doing the thing.
She's the best.
She's doing it.
Yeah.
And she still tries stuff on too.
Yeah.
It's her life.
Yeah.
Respect. If you're out there, Christine.
Sup? Christine. We have to get Christine on the podcast.
Oh my God, yes.
I bet you she would.
You should.
She should. I should ask her. She probably would be – I feel like she's at the point in her career where she probably gives back.
I can imagine.
Like, I'm a charity case. I can give
she
back to the
community. She deigns to step down to the commoners from time to time. Why not?
Oh, yes. That's what we're doing. Season 3, she'll be on here.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it'd be cool if you just got, like, old school names.
Yeah.
Random.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Anyway, I spent all my time instead of taking phone calls at the job where my whole job was taking phone calls. Instead, I was just, like, learning all of the things about all of the makeup things. Mm-hmm. And, like, those Model Mayhem boards, they were juicy. Because it was, like, people who I'm, like, still peers with now that I'm, like, I don't even want to tell you the first time I heard your name. Because I was 23 and I, like, stuck at my phone job reading the stuff that you posted. And you had no idea I existed. That's weird. That's strange.
I still have Model Mayhem. I still get booked.
Amazing. You know what? Some things endure.
It's $6 a month and it's paid for itself already.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. But, like, the people that I work with, you have to screen them, obviously.
Sure.
A lot. You have to really screen on Model Mayhem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it's like the fet life of
yes.
gigs.
It kind of is. It hasn't been updated since like the early 2000s. Like the actual like user interface is like so fucking old.
You know, why change a good thing?
Yeah, it's like it's not broke. Don't fix it. Why we got to put money? The demand is there. We don't need to put the money in to entice more people. The demand is there. It's a very niche thing.
Precisely.
If you don't know what FetLife is, please look it up. We're not explaining that on this episode.
Don't look at it for too long though, because it'll burn the white text into your eyeballs.
It is not safe for work if you didn't know. So don't look it up when you're at work.
Right. So I'm working on my friend's short films. And developing a taste for makeup and amassing a kit that isn't just my stuff, because I was learning from the boards like Model Mayhem that was disgusting and I understood why. So it was like I didn't have a mentor, but I was watching people mentor. And so I was just kind of like sponging everything up that I could from the resources that were online, which there weren't that many, you know, right. Especially not for film specific makeup. But I also knew that it was a job. And so I don't remember the first time I got paid to do makeup. No, yeah, I do. Okay. There were some photographers in my town that did a lot of stock photography, but they had a very editorial vibe because they would just come up with these crazy ideas for shoots and they'd be like, if it sells, it sells. And if not, then it doesn't. And either way, we'll give you $50. So
that's more than a lot of people get from editorial. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So I was at least like putting money toward my kit or like buying supplies specifically for the shoot and they would reimburse me or they would buy them for me. So shout out to Todd and Renee. That was a really lovely experience. And some of the photos even turned out, you know, like I have stuff I think that surpasses them as far as my technical skill now, but I like wouldn't be ashamed to post some of the stuff that we did back then.
That's awesome.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And around that time, I got into airbrushing as well, and then special effects. And I would go to a haunted house, and there was a guy there, Chris Hansen, who I still see around at like IMATS and stuff, which is really fun. He's still doing cool stuff in Utah. Old LA guy who did like a bunch of, sorry, I called you old, Chris. old talent from LA. And he did a bunch of like X-Files and stuff like that back in the day. So he taught me a lot as well. Just enough to kind of get me pushed into the direction of I can take like character special effect makeup on as well. And then I moved to New York. So while I was in New York, it was very difficult for me to find enough steady work to not have to have a survival job as well. And that was struggle for a couple of years because there were some crazy dramatic setbacks in our finances and we got scammed and all this stuff happened to us the first couple of years in New York. And my ex-husband, who I was married to at the time, was in grad school. So it was kind of like I was juggling a lot of things. And so sometimes it would go quite a while between jobs. And eventually I started building a little bit of a base for commercial and pharma work and doing photo shoots whenever I could and stuff like that. But unfortunately for me, wanting to do longer form stuff like television and film, I eventually started bumping up against the fact that in order to get into the bigger jobs, one would need to be in the union to even apply to be in those jobs, even assuming you knew anybody who was going to give you that job if you were. So that for me was always kind of a hurdle that I couldn't get over in New York.
Mm.
But that said, I'm really proud of the work that I did there and the connections I made to people. And I also worked a lot of comedy, a lot of like UCB kids. And
I used to do improv at UCB.
I know. That's why I'm bringing it up because that's where our paths have intersected. And that's why you know a bunch of my friends.
This is so weird, Biddies. So like when we met, first of all, me and Aaron, like let's go on a little small tangent. So me and Aaron met because Aaron thought a reel that I did was funny. And we met up and Erin was like, immediately, she was like, let's meet up. Fast forward, finding out that like I did improv with some of the people that you know, including like one of your very best friends.
Yep. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was at like a wedding with all of them. I was sending pictures to you. They're like, Erin, what, Erin? Because we were all drunk. That's my drunk voice.
Exactly. No, that's fine. Yeah. No, and I'm always happy to receive late night photos from drunks.
But like it just goes to show like your connections. You never know where your connections are going to lead you, and like be a fucking cool person and a good person because you never know who you're going to brush up against, and then you could be at a wedding with them or they could give you like your next job. You know, don't be an asshole to people because people talk.
This is true. And it's so funny how my friends that I've made in the last several years keep having waves in new circles. And that is one thing that I really love specifically about like the more comedic TV scene. Like everybody can almost be vouched for by someone you already know. Like it's a little bit more accessible than, let's say, your Marvel movies or something like that. Like literally somebody did an improv class with the writer of the show that I'm working on or something like that. It's always happening like that every single time. And I dig that.
Yeah. Is that why you worked for Adult Swim, right?
I have done some Adult Swim, yeah.
How did that come about? Was that because of the connections that you had from UCB or was that just like coincidental?
Weirdly, no, totally, completely unrelated. And then I would show up to set and like the first person sitting in my chair would like know someone I used to date in New York. And it was just like that all the time, like from the second I got off the ground here, basically.
So when you said you were, you know, coming into like roadblocks with the jobs that you wanted to do because they were in union, did you get into union when you moved to Atlanta?
I was not a member when I lived in New York. Yeah, because in order to qualify for the union, one needs 180 call sheets or proof of days worked within a 3-year period. And in New York, working survival jobs and, you know, like moonlighting or occasionally taking a day off work to do a commercial, it was never going to add up to 180 in 3 years without rolling off.
Yeah, it has to be within 3 years.
Yeah. And due to COVID, sometimes those requirements change a little bit. And depending on what category you want to get in as for right now, for example, right now they're doing a barber drive. So specifically barbers can get in a little bit easier because we need them.
Okay.
We love them and we don't have enough of them.
Yeah.
So,
gotcha. So, was the getting the days the hardest part for you about like being able to apply to the union?
Absolutely. And people ask me all the time, like, how do you get work? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know. Because that was a question that I asked for years. You know, like one job can lead to the next, but sometimes there's weeks between, and sometimes you don't know whoever is running a show that is going to give you a job for 6 months. That's the whole problem. If you got one job for 6 months, you'd be set, but that's just not that common, you know, especially when you're first starting out. So you just have to cobble them together. You know, student films, I've done a lot of digital work for, you know, like Walgreens or University of Phoenix or, you know, like those jobs are out there and they're easier to get via your network, but you just have to really bang them out in a short period of time in order to qualify. And so I've known a lot of people that I've talked to who were almost there and then something happened or, you know, the window for applying used to be very narrow and it was only at the beginning of the year. So depending on what your previous years looked like, you could lose out just by nature of luck. But they're also adjusting some of those things right now as well. So luckily, it might not be that specific problem people deal with in the future, but it'll always be a question of, yes, I have experience, but I don't have experience collectively within like a random span of time.
Right. So. Biddies, you've heard me so many times raving about how incredible my Patreon community is. And I want to tell you guys about it because it is the best way to support your girl, the HBIC, as we build this Lipstick Biddies community up worldwide. You all want to support me. I appreciate that. It is so much work to run this podcast. It is a one-woman show. We are just starting to up-level with new things like editors and all these crazy things that I'm finally getting to pay for because of the support of my patrons, and I cannot thank you enough. So the Patreon is amazing because you get to support me with a small monthly donation starting at $5 a month. Biddies, that is less than the price of a lipstick, and you get something in return as a thank you from me to you. You get monthly bonus episodes. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. You get monthly meetups. You get makeup classes. It is incredible. There are different tiers. Pick whichever one's right for you. It is the best way to support me and also connect with biddies around the world, both pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts, and also have a little bit more of an intimate experience with your girl. I love my patrons. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. It truly is the best way to help grow this community, and I appreciate all of you so much. Check the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/lipstickbiddies. Thanks, biddies, and see you in the Patreon. So aside from the days, what are some of the other, because I know a lot of biddies you've asked about film makeup, getting into unions. So like that's, I mean, me and Aaron are like friends. So like, of course I wanted to have you on here regardless, but like, it's good to have like an insider, like kind of view. What are the other things, if you can recall, that you were required to do to apply to the union besides the days?
Oh yeah. I know them all very well.
Okay. Bald cap.
Yeah. Bald cap for sure. Yes.
Hair length.
And several different photos of bald cap, a burn, a scar or bruise, tattoo cover, very important. And the tattoo cover doesn't just mean that, you know, you pop a little concealer over the top of it. It's like it's a color balancing, mm-hmm. like neutralizing thing. And then also it's a textural thing. And, you know, can you see it a mile away still from under there? Like they look at these things and right. they're not mean. They're not overly critical. They're not trying to exclude you. But, you know, if your work is not showing that you know how to continue to get work, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So some people do not make it in their first time applying.
Did you?
I did.
Mazel. That's amazing. I feel like I hear that a lot, that most people don't get in their first time. Do you think that you got in the first time because you were like very well prepared?
I wouldn't say that most people don't get in. I would say that most people do get in, but it's not uncommon. It's not unheard of, and it's not a reflection of who you are or anybody trying to gatekeep you unnecessarily. It's just sometimes you hear stories like people sending the same call sheet a few times and claiming they didn't know that it wasn't the same call sheet, or just things that tip you off that this person is actually not going to work out on set yet. So we're going to wait till you seem like you can get a job, keep it, do well at it, be representative of the union, you know, basic stuff.
So some of the skills that you were mentioning, I feel like some people, you know, maybe like used to doing beauty makeup or like out of kit effects. And when I say out of kit effects, I'm talking about like bruises and scarring and like blood, you know, stuff like that. But they may not have the experience with like bald caps or prosthetics or anything like that. Was that something that you kind of were able to like get a mentor with, or did you take classes? Like if someone's like looking to apply to the union and they feel like they don't know where to start with those kinds of skills, do you have any recommendations for them?
Yeah, absolutely. In Atlanta right now, obviously, especially due to COVID, it's harder to find in-person classes. So it might be more of a matter of tracking down someone who has the skill and the time to teach you. But I assure you, especially during slow periods, which right now we're in a boom, but there will be a slow period again, FX artists and makeup artists in general are always down to Skillshare when you compensate them for their time, because mm-hmm. purely they've got stuff that's maybe rotting, you know? So if you have a friend who has a skill, trade skills, or so there's always that route. But also, I wouldn't trust YouTube unless the YouTubes are backed by, say, a FX manufacturer or a known FX artist who's working in the field, because you do have a lot of people that are just kind of like, we've all seen those YouTubers who mm-hmm. like take a beer can and stick it directly on their eye or something.
No.
And we don't want people learning from stuff like that. Yeah. But Stan Winston School online, you can, for a very low price, have access to all of their videos, and all of the people who Skillshare on there are working in the field, or even like Christian Tinsley is on there, and he pretty much invented the tattoo transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And what's
so cool.
What's cool about
his Tinsley transfers.
Yeah. Yeah. What's cool about his videos is that he doesn't just teach you how to do a thing. He teaches you the process of how he came to understand how to invent the things that he invented.
Mm-hmm.
Because like that's the level of community that we have, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to understand what I do. Even if it means you're going to turn around and do my thing without any of my products, you know. I love that. I really do. Yeah. I think it's really cool. There are a lot of really cool up-and-coming special effects artists that I follow really avidly. And there's also an Instagram account called Pam, P-A-M, okay. London. And they are always doing like little tip of the days. And I've learned so much just from like scrolling through mm-hmm. just little bite-sized things.
Have you heard of Beauty Masterclass?
Yes.
So like Beauty Masterclass, I think it's called Beauty – or Beauty – the name is escaping. Maybe it's Beauty Masterclass.
No,
or
I think it is.
That they do like an online, you know, mm-hmm. library of different masterclasses essentially. And I interviewed the people who actually founded it at the makeup show. So make sure to go back and listen to that. I love how you were saying like, you know, Skillshare and like videos. This is the whole point of like building community and, you know, like do things like join the – Lipstick Bitties Facebook group, like jump on my Instagram, like connect with people in your area because you never know who's going to be able to like show you how to do something. I will ask you, I would love to learn how to do a ball cap.
Absolutely. Let's play.
And I can Skillshare. I can teach you how to crochet. I feel like you know everything. So I'm like, maybe a crochet or a friendship bracelet.
First of all, I would never say I know everything. but also... incapable of sitting long enough to crochet a thing.
It's like one of those things though. It's like almost like methodical. It's like almost like a fidget toy. Mm-hmm. So like once you get it down, it's like muscle memory, and then it's like a fidget toy. And you can do it while you're watching TV. You don't
you
even need to
that,
look at it.
But I still can't do braiding most of the time
because
I get lost in the sauce real fast.
Gotcha.
You just some people just know what their hands are doing without thinking about it. That is not me.
But it's also not a good thing because that leads to like, you know, destructive habits with your hands. So you have to have something to like crochet. Otherwise, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So
I think my brand of ADHD is less fidgety than some. I think that's what it is.
Less fidgety than some.
Yeah.
So
but
I love
still teach you.
Yay. Like ball cap. I think
In fact, if you let me practice on you first, then you learn what it looks like and then you can do it to me.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's what we're going to do the next time we hang out.
Let's film it.
Yes. We'll film it. We'll film it for the YouTube channel.
Okay.
I did a ball cap, and Biddies, you probably have seen this picture or videos of me doing the baby. Did you see the baby? I'll throw it into some random reels. I'll have to show it to you afterwards, or maybe you just look it up because like it's so fucking bad. Like we're going to take a little pause so you can actually like look this up so you know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to remember what
Is it on Instagram?
Yes. So if go to Instagram, go to my reels, I'll pick the one that is, and you could see my first go at a bald cap, but it was also, in my defense, it was a latex bald cap, which are like really difficult to work with. Like it was really thick. Like one of those from – I got it from Abracadabra, which is like a – you know, it's like a costume and like special effects store, but like it was definitely not like one that you would use, you know, for
– they're fine for theater.
Exactly. So I tried to do a baby costume. So here you go. You're welcome.
I'd love for you to show me your most first makeup, something that you never wanted to see the light of day. And I'll go first.
I'm Arthur. You're Arthur.
I kind of love that though.
But I also put like a
cursed. It is cursed.
I'll have to put it. I'll have to repost it again. But basically, it's a baby costume, and like because the edges were so fucking bad, and I couldn't blend them, I have a headband around where the edges would be to conceal it. But also, I like poked a hole at the top and pulled like a little strand of hair through the top, which I think is the most cursed thing about it.
But it's great. It's like a little Cupid doll.
Oh my God. It's so creepy.
See,
you got to start somewhere though.
That would work on like something.
it would work on FetLife.
No, I mean, like, for instance, I for a minute there, I was on an Adult Swim show that was a comedy, and it was like, basically, if something was funny and you pulled it out of your ass like 2 days prior, they'd probably just laugh and go, "Yeah, let's do it," you know, like. It was that sort of thing. It's just like, oh, that's hilarious. That's terrifying and hilarious. And we love that. You know, like, there's a place for everything. There's a place. Even cursed baby costumes.
Oh, my God. Terrible, terrible. That was, like, not. But, you know, now we can laugh about it.
Exactly.
That's why you shouldn't delete anything. Like, you need to be able to, like, look back and be like, that happened.
Exactly.
So on the topic of special effects, so I know we talked a lot about film, which biddies, please, if you're a film artist or you're looking to be a film artist, like there's so many resources available for you. And I want to make sure that like you guys get them, but like so much is like available for you online. But definitely let me know if you have more questions like specific to film for like a follow-up episode. But I want it because Erin, you do so much more than just film, and your work is incredible and so creative and so imaginative. Because you have that background in theater and in the special effects, you're able to bring those like characters and like really like out of the box concepts to things that are like fashion. And like you did a whole campaign for Versace jeans, which was so fucking dope. And like literally, okay, like I need to like, I would love to assist you, but like even if you don't have like room for an assistant and I could just like watch you work, like biddies, I'm gonna put this up on the Instagram, but like it was such an incredible campaign that you did. So can you talk a little bit about that, where the inspiration came for that?
Yeah, totally. So I had been working pretty consistently, like a couple times a year, with a photographer named Savannah Ogburn. They are incredible and they do a lot of film photography. And they just one day hit me up and said, "Hey, I pitched this bizarre concept to Versace Jeans Couture. And for some reason, they've decided to let me do it. And they're giving us a budget. What is your rate?" And I told her what I would accept. And she said, "Cool, let's do this." And then they said, "Okay, so I'm going to send you the lookbook. And these are the concepts that I'm dealing with. And this is why I need you." And one of them was an alien with sort of a creature from the Black Lagoon fin ruff around the edges of her face, or possibly her neck. We weren't sure at first. And she was going to be like a minty green.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, can't say I've seen Versace do any of that. So, but what was really cool, because this is like a dream come true for me, is that we were going to use the same model for all three looks and three different outfits, but also three different vibes. So one was like a very rosy, gothy vampirist. And one was, I should look up exactly what the verbiage is because it's so good. Everybody should follow Savannah Ogburn, SavannahOgburn.
We could put it in the show notes too.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So you guys could, you know, anytime you're listening to this, biddies, anything like we talk about like of note, I'll put in the show notes. But anything, of course, if you didn't get to catch it, feel free to send me a DM, of course, and I'll be able to follow up with you.
So the concept was, I've just pulled up the deck, which is a really good deck. It's an excellent deck. Quality deck.
Ooh. Ooh, so, oh my God, if I got this, I would be like, fuck yeah. I'd be like, exactly. This is so cool.
So for the gnome look, diva-esque, super emphasized arched brows, a pinky coral pout, soft pink eyeshadow, shimmer encouraged, subtle elf ear prosthetics, skin should be matte with some pinky blush. This character is like a deranged housewife who turns into a garden gnome, literally in parentheses, someone stop me. So the makeup should reflect some sweetness that contrasts with the surreal fantasy look of the elf
ears. I've seen this picture before.
Yes. And
So cool.
Literally, someone stopped me. That's the kind of deck I'm trying to read. Yes, exactly. And it was really cool. Everyone on set was queer. It was a great day. I worked. I should have had an assistant, let's be honest. But I had a friend of mine, Julia Emerald, who is an incredible sculptor. I just was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Do you have enough free time? Could you possibly bang out a sculpt and run some silicone pieces for me?
That was going to be my next question.
Within like the next 2 days.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, why not? Let's do this.
And you have such cool friends.
I do. That's the wonderful thing about being here. People can afford to live artistically.
Yes. Yeah, that's why. That's a huge perk of living here.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the story of the Versace Jeans Couture shoot. It was basically for a campaign of theirs where they were specifically giving budgets to up-and-coming youth with different perspectives. So the whole campaign was really cool. Every time they posted a new release with a different photographer, I was just blown away. So they did a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. Biddies will obviously, like I said, put some links in the show notes and then also in the highlight reel. If you're listening to this the week it airs or the following week, you'll be able to see the stories about that. But, you know, it's also on Erin's Instagram, which is just – is it just Erin Cheney?
Actually, it's just making it all up.
Oh. Actually, no.
Just making it all up.
I love that though. That's such a cute name. Where did that come from?
All the good names were taken. Oh. No, I wanted it to be something about makeup, and then literally like just make it up was taken, and just making it up was taken. So just making it all up. That works on several levels for me. So
yeah,
it's a little sloppy. It's a little phoned in.
It's a slogan,
not where it counts.
Yeah, I love it. So do you feel like you need like a balance of work outside of film to like be like fulfilled in your creative and, you know, space as far as like what you like getting out of like doing makeup yourself?
I think I get inspiration from everywhere. And I think that I would hate to feel closed in on by my job. And so if I find the right job, then that will never happen.
Yeah.
So I am free to pursue any of my other interests. Like I still produce documentary films sometimes and or help friends write and produce theirs. And I write and do all sorts of things. So I think Cheryl Strayed calls these things our becoming. I don't know if you ever read Wild, but yeah. She just wondering whether you should shave under your armpits every day or
is this the Reese Witherspoon movie? Like
spending all your time. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was based on the book, right? Yeah, I saw the movie.
Yeah. Just you know, the useless hours add up to something.
Yeah.
And I've come to believe that because over time I'm just like, oh, because I wouldn't understand this if I hadn't done this for like several years. So yeah, I think it's all about being holistic about yourself and where your influences come from. And if you need to take a break from what you're doing every day, you take a break and then you come back to it and see if it looks different.
You've been so patient with me as a person, as a friend. I feel like we rescheduled this so many times.
Oh, no.
Do you ever?
It's a pandemic.
It is. Yeah. And both you and I take it very seriously. We're like, yeah, we're not seeing anybody this week.
Right.
But I was going to say, have you ever been told that you have like kind of like maternal air about you?
I've been.
And like, don't take that in a bad way.
Rave mom.
Mm,
I've been maybe that's what friend it is. Mom. Mm-hmm. In recent years, occasionally people try to call me mommy. But no, I don't know that I've heard that specifically. Yeah.
I feel like you're just like wise and like you're so welcoming. Like when the first time that like we met again, like Biddies, we didn't know each other. The way that you were just so like open and welcoming to me, and like it just speaks to like how you are as a person and how you like interact throughout this world. Well, I think.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's true.
That's very sweet,
and I appreciate your friendship.
Well, I'm glad that my insides match my outsides then.
And your outsides are beautiful. Let me tell you, like you just got your fresh hair did. You have purple hair and the eyeshadow is like on point. What we got on the eyes today?
Pat McGrath.
Oof, bougie.
Mm. Yeah. I like texture.
I still haven't like invested in a Pat McGrath palette.
You can play with mine if you want.
Oh, yes, with the ball cap.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we could do like a fashion thing.
Okay,
we're gonna do like fashion bald caps.
Biddies, please stay tuned. Stay tuned.
It will be fun.
So I know you're a listener of the podcast and you know that I love games. And my favorite game, of course, is the Would You Rather, which we love. We love it every single episode. But I just like for season two, I felt like we need to like integrate a little bit more like games. So biddies, we're going to be trying out some new stuff. So I wanted to do like a little this or that slash like rapid fire questions, makeup related. So Erin has not been prompted with these, but I wanted to give you a few of them. You up for that?
So down.
Okay, ready. Cool. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. So dewy skin versus matte skin.
Damn, right out the gate. Mm-hmm. Stumped. It depends on the context. If it's for film, I'm going to go matte. Otherwise, dewy.
Word. Eyes first or face first when you're doing someone's makeup?
Eyes first if it's complicated.
Mm. Next question. Someone fictional or non-fictional that you would want to do their makeup? Could be anybody.
Villanelle from Killing Eve.
I don't know who that is.
So she's an assassin who adapts different personas to get the job done.
Oh, is it the one that's like, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Jodie Comer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Beautiful face, first of all.
Yes.
But also many different characters, which is part of the reason why I enjoyed the Versace shoot, because it was the same person and we got to show three different sides of the same person's facial features. And I got to like enhance or exaggerate different sides of her. And I think that one thing that gets frustrating about makeup is trying to explain to people who don't understand makeup that there are a million options and they're all mm-hmm. valid.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I got to live my dream of showing how different each look could be.
Yeah, it'd be a blank canvas.
Yeah. Yeah. So transformation, I guess, is the theme yes. in my eye.
Good answer. Last question. A pro tip that you love. Like a pro makeup tip that maybe not everybody would know.
If you have a bold lipstick that is too bright and you have your concealer, you always have a neutral lipstick.
Ooh, that I love that one. That's a really good one. And it's probably really flattering too because it's that person's skin tone. Oh, I'm going to try that one.
Biddies. Do it.
Biddies, if you try that one, make sure to tag both me and Erin when you post.
Do
please,
it.
Please.
Do it.
So on that note, the last thing I got to ask you, of course, is the would you rather question, which is, you know, tried and true of the Lipstick Biddies podcast. And it's also really funny because we just talked about lip and it was kind of like that. So if you could have a superpower where you could do eyeliner perfectly every single time and whatever style it was that you wanted. So it could be like a wing, a graphic, smoky. You could do it perfectly in the first try or a perfect lip in the first time.
As a hooded eyelid person, I think it's a no battle. It's definitely eyelid.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then you trust your like you trust your skills with like lips. You probably like could do it with your eyes closed.
Oh, it depends on the lips. If they're mine, yeah.
Yeah.
I could go flap, flap. Good to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Erin. You were a champ. At this little like first round of these rapid fire questions, Diddy's, if you have like a, I want to like name this segment. So if you guys have any ideas, please have them at me or I will just make one up for next time. But Erin, it's been such a pleasure having you here. I'm so grateful to have you as a friend and as a colleague.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me and for being my friend too.
Of course. Yeah. It's just so nice to do these I don't know. It adds something different to the interview when I'm able to connect with people in person too.
Plus you already know the answers to some of the questions, so that doesn't hurt.
That's true. So Erin, before we sign off, can you let all the listeners know where they can find you on social media, anything you want to connect them to, and maybe any parting words of advice about anything we spoke about or just in general that you'd like to leave off with before we end the episode?
Totally. My Instagram is, again, just making it all up. That's JustMakingItAllUp. And that's where I'm most active. That's where you can find me. That's where you can holler at me. And I guess my advice would be to never feel like you have to make a choice when it comes to art. You really don't, because everything that you know can be used in a different context somehow. And I can't explain to you how, but I know that it's true because it's happened to me.
Fuck yeah. I love that. That's such a good one.
Good.
All right, biddies, we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. To receive a special surprise from the head biddy in charge in the mail, make sure to drop a review in the app and DM your screenshot to me at Lipstick Biddies. Remember, you are a badass fucking biddy. See you next week.